Morning.
Good morning.
And be seated. And as we're adjusting here, transitioning, the children have some time together. They're dismissed and to go on to their class, all our kids. As the time is with us, looking forward to delivering this message for you. This is not one of those sermons where I can say, well, it just applies to some of you. This is one of those you can elbow each other. I give you permission. There's a lot of you statements. So this is for us. This is for us as Christians today. Play off some words. Don't blame the darkness. That's the title of this message. It comes from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus is kind of, we're coming off the Sermon on the Mount. It's still in that lesson that Pastor Jim is teaching us. So this is all Sermon on the Mount kind of time frame. So as you're searching for your Bibles, your scriptures, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day, for the rain that replenishes the earth. What a testimony to the world that you do care for us, that you would even see to it that the grass, the trees, everything is watered, and that everything is cared for properly. So thank you for keeping us safe. The wind was a little strong, but the lightning a little bright. So we thank, Father, that you have helped us and kept us safe. For those, Father, that are hurting this day, we are mindful. And we ask, Father, that you would bless each and every person. Give them a sense of peace. Give them your presence that they can calm the nerves, calm the anxieties that of whatever it is they are going through at this hour. Father, for those that weren't able to make it, we know that they are out and about, wrapping up the summer season. But Father, we're grateful for technology, for those that are away but yet can tune in at this hour on media, on Facebook, to join us and to be with us around the country. We're thankful for this time. We ask, Father, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and just minister to our hearts. This will apply to each one of us in a different way. So interpret the scriptures, interpret the lyrics that were in the songs today, our fellowship later. It all culminates in you speaking to us. And we're grateful that you love us so much that you would go to this length to inform us that you love us, care for us, that your son Jesus died for us, that salvation can be ours if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I like the New Living Translations. It's a little more down to earth and true to the Greek text. A little prejudice because a lot of my Asbury Seminary professors were in on it, so maybe that's why I like it. But Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, this is kind of tied in with the Sermon on the Mount. It's teaching. It's also included with the salt parable, but he's also saying this. And you'll notice, what's the first word? You. Yes, so this applies to everybody. It says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Isn't that amazing? So as I was studying that, the first thing I thought of was, what's the most instinctual thing anyone will do when they come into a darkened room? Boy, they start feeling those walls, don't they? They want that light switch. They want to flip it and get the lights on because it's dark. And we don't like dark, do we? I think it's, well, other than to sleep, I think, other than to sleep, we really don't care for darkness too much at all, do we? Darkness is suffocating at times. It's enveloping. But let's just be honest, it's kind of scary at times, isn't it? It's frightening. And rightfully so, because even the Bible is very clear that it does not allude to darkness in a very positive way. As I was looking at the dictionary and some of the encyclopedias on this word, the things that the Bible uses figuratively to symbolize darkness, words like emptiness, evil, moral depravity, wickedness, punishment, affliction, sin and death. So even the Bible doesn't paint a very good picture to the word darkness. So it's no wonder nobody really cares to be in darkness. Because in essence, let's face the facts. Everything that deals with darkness is the exact opposite of who God is. But this is where you don't get off the hook either. It is the exact opposite of all that we are supposed to be as children of light. Our scripture passage today is very clear. You are that light. So what are we supposed to do about darkness? I'm going to give you some practical apps. The first ones are pretty easy. They're self-explanatory. Reject it. That's pretty simple. Have nothing to do with it. That's pretty easy. We should not allow darkness to be any part of our being, how we act, how we react, how we live our lives. We shouldn't allow darkness to have any part. I look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. It just says, for once, yeah, you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light that's within you, it produces only what is good and right and true. The Bible also tells us that in order to avoid having this darkness in our life is to simply, it's a no-brainer, of course, follow Jesus. It seems simple, doesn't it? But it can be hard. But you need to learn to follow after Jesus intimately, close, personal, in a loving relationship. But also, don't forget the other word, the O word, obediently. You must live the way he wants you to. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. If, it's a big if, it says, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. And then last, but definitely not least, you realize it's a requirement. It's not a suggestion. It's not something that we can kind of shrug off and say, well, that's just for somebody else. It's for all of us. It's a requirement. We are tasked with dispelling, overcoming, defeating this darkness. If you look in verse 14, also in 16, our scripture passage says, you, that's a personal word, you are the light. Let your light shine before others. You is personal. So in other words, this isn't something you can delegate because somebody else is got their own light. They shine their light, so you need to shine yours. Matthew's being very clear for us today. He's saying that you must clearly, without question, you need to be making a difference. You need to be making a very distinct impact on the world around you, in your family, in your acquaintances, at work, on vacation. There's no time that you're off the clock. You need to be making that difference. We must dispel darkness. Whatever form it may be in your world, working to dispel that. We change our world by overcoming all forms of darkness, by using the type of light that Jesus has specifically given you to use. What's the bottom line? As Christians, we do our part because we want to make this world a good, moral, and just place to live. And in order to shine, we have to do our part. We have to do our part to ensure our Christian witness is very well planned. It has to be studied. It needs to be strategic, intentional, but most importantly, visible. People have got to see it. In other words, we put ourselves out there on the line, don't we? Think of it as in a football analogy. You've got the ball. Wouldn't you want to march it down the field and score a touchdown? I don't want Christians living just the opposite, doing something silly like punting on first down. You know, that's silly. That you don't win that way, do you? But sometimes Christians do live their life by dimming their light, shirking from their responsibilities. But that we need to be the opposite. Don't withdraw. Don't hide. Don't avoid your responsibilities. Don't retreat. We are to be light. Like the lamp put on a stand. Stand out. Stand up so all can see. We stand out by making a difference. As I said before, distinctive difference. Effective by giving the light to everyone. Everyone. Enemies, foreigners, just human. As we say in the military, there's just one race. It's the human race. We're all made in God's image. We shine for everyone. So put your lamp up on the stand. The bottom line for us in shining in this distinct particular way is what it says in our scripture. We want to direct all the attention to Jesus. That's the key. We want everyone to see, to realize, and focus on Jesus Christ. So in other words, there's no confusion and there's no doubt. You're modeling, representing, and reflecting Jesus Christ to be Lord and personal Savior in their life. As Christians who have Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, I believe if you're shining brightly, there's no mistaking the effect that your light can have on your community, in your life, and upon that darkness that's around your location. When the light of Christ shines in and through you, it's amazing what can happen. The light can boldly and unabashedly make itself known all around you. That's what makes you so different. You don't even have to say anything. That's what's amazing about the brightness if you allow Christ to shine through you that intently. It announces its presence. It does all the talking just because people are, there's just something about you. They just know that Jesus Christ is in you. It just comes out of you without having to say anything. And that's why I honestly believe that it's God's desire to fill you, to allow you to shine that brightly. It's something that we had to learn and teach even in the military. It may seem hard. It may seem difficult. We may be riding your back. We may be down your throat. But the key is that we don't want you to fail. It may seem like it because we're pushing you so hard, but we don't want you to fail. Why would we want you to fail? It's the same thing with Christ. He wants you to shine. He wants you to be brilliant. So the trials, the hardship, the pruning process, the learning process, that's for a reason. It is to get you brighter and brighter in shining for Him. It is amazing because, again, the whole point, drawing their attention to Jesus Christ. So that's why it's imperative that we live this way continually on a daily basis, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year. It never stops. Our light shines brightly because it's like we said before, the light we shine may be the only illumination some people get to see in their area. So in other words, as hard as it is to say it this way, if we blow it, then they don't receive it. And what a miserable, forsaken loss that is for everybody involved. You may be familiar with Edward Burke. You may have heard this probably in various forms, but it rings true. All that is necessary. In other words, the only thing that you need to do for triumph of evil is for good people to do absolutely nothing. Therefore, the responsibility is on all of us, isn't it? All of us who are called to illumine the world with a message and hope that's only found in one place, Jesus Christ. It's important that all of us who have been illumined to be illuminators. That makes sense? The other thing, too, is once you become illuminated, is to share. As I've said from this pulpit before, the gospel was never meant to be hoarded. It's to be heralded. You need to share it. You need to give it away and tell someone all about it. Philippians 2:15, Paul reminds us, he says, you are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Here's the last sentence. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Paul again, Acts chapter 13, verse 47, he's reaching back into the Old Testament to the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 49, verse 6, Paul's quoting, he says, this is what the Lord told us to do, saying, I have made you a light for the nations. You will show people all over the world the way to be saved. That's powerful. So here's the point. I think even science can back me up on this one. Light dispels darkness. I think that's a pretty true statement. Therefore, if the complaint is, well, Pastor, there's just way too much darkness. There's just way too much darkness out in the world. Well, then you have to ask a second question. All right, if there's a lot of darkness, then where's the light? Where is the light that dispels it? And if darkness seems to be overtaking the world, we still have to ask again then, all right, if there's that much darkness, again, where is the light? Well, we know that answer, don't we? It's in us. We're the light. It's in you, it's in me, it's in all of us. We are that source. We are the answer to that question. So we'll ask it again. Where is the light? Well, if we know that it's in us, then there is a third, probably more profound, powerful question that needs to be asked. If the world is in the shape it is in now, and we believe there is so much darkness, the question is, then why isn't the church collectively shining brighter than it is now? Most importantly, what happened? What happened to the light? Why is the world overtaking so drastically in its darkness? Because it does seem the world is getting worse, although Solomon would agree that there's nothing new under the sun, but it is getting worse. It seems to be in moral and ethical shambles and a tailspin of sorts. But we have to realize if that's the case, we've got to go back to looking at ourselves in the mirror and realize it's our duty to illumine that darkness, to try to dispel what's in our capability to disperse with the light of Jesus. So I'll read it again. Ephesians 5, verses 8, and I'll add a few verses. It says, yeah, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. So how do you expose it? Light exposes the darkness, doesn't it? It's critical that each of us as Christians, we need to maintain our source of light to illumine the darkness around us. I believe that's why verse 15 says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Now, this is very important because it's a imagery in the English language that can kind of give us a false impression that it means, well, just hide it. Don't say anything. I don't want to offend anybody, or I don't want to get an argument started. I just kind of back off a little bit. No, that's not what it's saying. It's not hiding. It's literally referring to blowing it out, extinguishing it, and completely taking that light out. In other words, letting darkness overcome and win. We don't want to extinguish our lights completely, do we? Once you get the light of Christ in you, passionately guard that light, build that light, stoke the fire, let it burn, let it come aflame in your heart. Don't let the pressures, the intimidation, the threats, the anger, the ugliness of Facebook and Twitter and all the other junk that goes out there that's anti-Christian or anti-whatever, the Bible, don't let that intimidate you. Don't let that type of threatening and verbiage cause you to back off and blow that light out and extinguish it. We don't want to snuff that light out, do we? We want to allow the light of Jesus to beam brightly. We want to illumine our world. Because as Christians, we know that purity is so much better than filth. Truth much greater than error. Knowledge so much greater than ignorance. And most importantly, living a godly life is so much better than being a hypocrite, isn't it? We need to show the divine presence of God to the world. They need to know that, yes, God is with us, not absent. He is here and hasn't abandoned us or this world. So as the illustration said in our scripture passage today in verse 15, we take that light, we put it on a stand. We want to give that light to everyone. In other words, living a very distinct, obvious Christian life to all the world. We want to spread it out. That's why you lift it up so that the light permeates a greater circle. This is a 360-degree circle all around you, everywhere you go. We need to shine our light just as Jesus shined his. Because if you really read the Bible, I can honestly say there's no ignoring the way Jesus shined his light upon this earth. No matter what presented itself, no matter what degree of darkness Jesus encountered, it was dispelled. It was soundly defeated because of the light Jesus illumined to that event. Everywhere he went, everything Jesus did, we see God's truth being boldly proclaimed, people getting healed, hypocrisy getting exposed, sinners finding forgiveness, lives being changed. I hope you'll agree with me. The world has never, ever been the same since the Father of our God the Father introduced light into this world through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's why I'm hoping it is our prayer today that we will not blame the darkness for the sin and evil that's in the world today. So let's just face the fact, it's just simplistic. Why are we getting upset over the darkness? Darkness is just doing what darkness does, right? Sin is just doing what sin is doing. There's no surprise to that. But if it does surprise us, it all goes back. Then where is the light? Where did it go? Why is it not brighter? There's some things that we have to honestly self-check, as the Bible even tells us for when we take communion. Examine yourself and see what needs to happen to get that light a little brighter. So as we leave here today, we continue to live in the scriptures, maintain a healthy prayer life, continue to witness, share your story, share what Christ has done for you, so that the light will never grow dim or become extinguished in your life. There's no other way to say it. When God's light is allowed to shine unhindered through your life, the darkness around you will go away. God the Father gets glorified. The lost find salvation in Jesus Christ. That's a good equation to live by. So we go forth today. If we ask that question, why is the world so dark? We got to look at our own house, don't we? Where's the light? Why isn't it shining brighter? And then we can do something about it, can't we? Let us pray. Father, we're grateful that you challenge us. We are your light. In fact, even the scriptures tell us we're your ambassadors. So we have a very important task to do in this world. So Holy Spirit, help us, convict us when we begin to dampen the light, when we begin to dim. Convict us that we may pull the wick up just a little more and let that light catch and become brighter. Father, the world is truly. Even our own president was saying that he didn't realize it would be this vicious, this hateful, that evil would be this prevalent. It is coming after us, Father, and it is getting more intense. I think that's because it feels the threat. We are that threat. We are the light that dispels it. So, Father, give us the power to shine even more brightly, to be ready to stand and to face this darkness that so desperately wants to extinguish our light. But, Father, we know it cannot do that. Your power is too great. So, Father, shine through us this week. Help us to shine just even a little brighter than we have before. Challenge us in where we are weak. Strengthen us and may help us to stand firm in where we are confident. So, Father, give us the strength and the illumination. Through Christ Jesus, we ask. Amen.